The thing that gets me about you guys is you were flying from your home country at the time in Dubai to come to my events in London.
We're leaving Dubai, we're leaving our jobs, and we're going back to England to be full-time in properties.
How many of your four properties that you've got, how many of them are HMOs?
Three.
Once they're all completed and refinanced and rented, with your rent-to-rent, how much cash flow will you expect to make from those?
5,000 to 6,000 a month. If you want to be financially free from property, then you need to look at the proper strategies and educate yourself. When there's a crash, people get scared and they don't buy, and actually that's the time you should buy.
We knew what we knew now then, we would have bought another property.
Before you hear their amazing story of how they flipped a house in Dubai and made over £100,000 profit, it all started at the £1 property course. I have to say, with sadness and heaviness in my heart, I'm going to be running the very, very last ever £1 property millionaire intensive this month in July 2023. I've been running these £1 courses for ages and it's changed thousands of people's lives. So if you want to come and join me this month in July, I'm going to be in Birmingham, Manchester and London for the final time ever running the £1 property millionaire intensive. Link in bio. Enjoy the interview. Thank you so much for coming to my house.
Thank
you.
You
two have been a massive inspiration in the property community. You've recently become property millionaires. And the thing that gets me about you guys is you were flying from your home country at the time in Dubai to come to my events in London. I mean, that type of doing whatever it takes is what I think has got you to where you are today. So congrats on your success.
Thank you.
Where did that motivation come from to get on a plane and fly from Dubai to come to a property course? Like, most people are like, when's the next one happening in Liverpool? And they won't even travel to Manchester. Where's that motivation come from?
I think we've always been really motivated people, firstly in our careers, but we've always wanted to get into property. We bought our first property 10 years ago when there was a bit of that property crash.
Yeah, I remember.
And we were living in West London, which was a really expensive area. But we'd both been saving, really wanting to get into property.
Yeah.
So we were just looking at one bed flats in the area, and we managed to find one, and it was actually a repossession, wasn't it? And it was on for $290, and we managed to get it for $275.
And this was 10 years ago
now? 10
years, yeah.
Wow.
And we did like a light refurb on that property before, literally, what, 3 or 4 months later, we left the country, and then we did around the world sort of trip, and then we relocated to Dubai because I got a job there. And then we just left it to run for 10 years, just letting the agents run the tenants and everything.
And now it's worth like 400?
Yeah, about 460.
Oh, 460, almost half a million. So made great money there. Was that just like literally you bought it with your savings, just as a long-term investment?
The standard kind of save up as much as you can, get the deposit down.
Yeah.
To let.
Yeah. And then while you were in Dubai, you did a flip, made like 100 and...
Yeah, over £120,000.
From buying and just selling?
Yeah, well, we bought it. We really wanted to invest. We researched the area so much. We lived in Dubai. We really wanted to buy. We were getting itchy feet again to buying property.
Yeah, it was an interesting situation. We've been there for 5 years, and most people over there, they detract you from buying property. They said, don't do it. It's too risky. It's too risky. It's too risky. That was the narrative a lot of people said. And then we've been there 5 years and we got to the point where we were kind of at the end of our tenancy agreement. And we're like, let's just have a look. And we looked at the market, it was pretty low. And I did a little bit of due diligence, and people I knew that out there, been there all their life, they were like, the prices you're getting now, you'll never ever get again. So we're like, okay, we're kind of sold on buying in Dubai. And I think from then, when we looked at the property, in the area that we bought.
Yeah, it was basically an amazing location, but it's where the properties were all quite run down. If you can get run down properties in Dubai, it's the area. It's a great area, close to the marina, close to the beach, close to Sheikhzayed Road. But all those properties are quite run down, and to rent them, they're not in very good condition, a lot of them. We thought, why don't we buy one and do it up? So we bought it to live in. And as expats, you have to put down minimum 25% as you would a buy to let, even though we were having it as our own home. So we scraped together everything and even took out a secondary loan to put the deposit down. We got a 4-year loan and then paid it off in a year and a half. So we did up the house piecemeal, like room by room, as we were getting savings.
And unfortunately, COVID happened. And as a result of that, we sort of accelerated the plan because we didn't travel, we didn't go on holidays, didn't really do much. So in that kind of year, we really paid down the loan so we could...
Why did it take you so many years? Why did it take you... You bought your first one 10 years ago. What was with the 9-year gap before doing your Dubai?
Because as soon as we bought the London one, we travelled the world and then moved to Dubai. So we're in a different country.
We got stuck in that Dubai lifestyle for the first year or two.
Yeah.
And we had never thought about being abroad and investing back home.
Did you have to pay tax on the money?
No.
Oh, it was totally tax-free?
Yeah.
Is that because you were...
because we lived out there so long. We lived out there nearly 8 years. But had we have gone out there for a year or two and then flown back, we'd have been...
So you made 120, was it?
Yeah.
120 grand tax-free, buying a house for how much?
We bought it for 1.2 million dirhams. So that's about
240 and sold it for 1.9, which is about 400.
Wow, that's impressive. Is that something that did you think that would be a good strategy to keep doing?
Interesting. So at the time, I thought, why is no one else buying properties? Because there was so much on the market, so cheap. And I was wondering, why is no one capitalizing on this moment?
It's that typical thing, though. When there's a crash, people get scared. Right. They don't buy. And actually, that's the time you should buy.
Exactly. If we had more money, we would have definitely have probably done one or two at that time. But within 6 months of buying, property prices started to go.
But now in the UK, people are scared. So that, and again, you've capitalized off that. You've seen that interest rates are going up. It's becoming a buyer's market in England, isn't it? And you've bought how many houses in the last few months? Four?
We've bought four in the year we've been back.
How are you finding the money to keep buying all these houses? Where is it coming from?
Well, we've used the money that we've made from the Dubai house. We also did a huge renovation on our London flat and then refinanced it. So we pulled...
Yeah, that's 10 years worth of equity building up in there.
Yeah.
We had quite a lot of equity because we did that thing that most people seem to do and just try and pay down the mortgage as quickly as we can. Because we thought... Yeah. You know, what you're told by your parents is to pay off your mortgage. So when we were living in Dubai, we were sending money back to the UK to pay down our mortgage.
Yeah. If we knew what we knew now then, we would have bought another property.
Yeah. And we just think, we wish we'd bought more property. But
so you kind of were dabbling a bit in property, also working in very time-intensive jobs. What were your jobs at the time in Dubai? What were you doing?
I was in the fitness industry. So I was originally a trainer in England and I moved out there as a trainer and then got into sort of more managerial roles. So I was doing that for the whole time and you were working in travel.
Yeah, I was working in travel retail. So I worked in the fashion accessory area. I was a global head of travel retail for an international luxury company. Yeah. So traveling all around the world and working with really great brands. So it was an amazing job. But when we had our daughter, your priorities change. And
it was almost that with the whole COVID thing where everyone sort of reevaluated what they're doing in their life. And we were going, Kirsty stumbled across yourself after we did the whole Rich Dad, Poor Dad, did that sort of series of audiobooks.
We listened to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that was just like a light bulb moment. Because we thought, if we sell up and move back to England, we've got this pot of money. We were like, it houses in your hometown in Taunton, they're about 180 grand each for like a 2-3 bed terrace. We were like, if we could buy two of those on a buy-to-let mortgage and we'd be making net profit maybe £300-400 each a month, so £800 net profit a month, we're like, we can't live on that. We're like, how do people do this? How do people buy property and then become financially free? Because even with a big pot of money that we had for them selling the Dubai house, that would just give us £800 a month. We were like, we can't live on that. And we're not looking at this right. And we listened to Rich Dad, Poor Dad and the light bulb moment that your home is not your asset and looking at property and finances in a different way. And then, I came across you on YouTube and loved your videos. I was like, James, you have to watch this.
So after our first holiday, after COVID in 2021, you extended your stay in England.
Yeah.
And then you did the crash course.
You flew back to Dubai, yeah. And I stayed for the summer in England just so our daughter could spend time with family. And yeah, I saw your £1 crash course, but my flight was the next week and yours was the week later. And I was like, oh, what do I do? And I rang you and I just delayed my flight. And my mum looked after our daughter, Everly, and I just went down for the day and I was totally overwhelmed, you know, because it was a big event. And unbeknownst to me, I was sat next to Evans and we got chatting and I'd never yet seen his financial freedom challenge on your YouTube.
When you watch the YouTube channel and you see people on a Wednesday and documents, and then you see everybody in real life, it's like, oh, everyone's around, because it's a small community, the property world. What was it about that £1 course then? Because obviously you've been in property a long time. You bought a property 10 years ago and you'd done your flip in Dubai. What was it about that day that made you so like excited and got the blood flowing?
I think it's the financial freedom intensive. That's what I signed up for, because I was just like, how can we become financially free from property? I want to do this full time. I loved my job, but it was just too much with having a daughter. I want to be around for her more. How can we be full time in property and make this work and become financially free? And I, you know, really felt like you had the answers. And so I signed up for the course. And that was the Financial Freedom Intensive and the Deal Selling Masterclass. And that one, it was in the November, but obviously I was in Dubai. So I flew back to Dubai just for that course on my own. You took some time off.
I didn't tell my family.
I just did it in secret because I thought they would think I was mad. So,
what did you think, James?
I was all for it because this is a plan we kind of concocted in the summer. And we said, this is what we want to do. Because the last thing we wanted to do was move back to the UK and start our careers again.
Yes.
We wanted that to have that open playing field of like, we're going to completely transform our lives essentially and do this full time. So I was all for you.
Yeah, you took time off to look after Everly while I flew back. I even had to, it was that time of COVID, so I had to do like a COVID test to fly back, and my family were actually out there in Dubai at the time when I did that, so I had to go for a COVID test, and they're like, why are you going for a COVID test? And I couldn't say, I'm flying home tomorrow.
That's crazy. So yeah. you just thought that they just wouldn't understand it and they'd try and talk you out of it?
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's a scam, it's too much money, like, they just didn't understand at all, so I was just like, I just want to keep this to myself. And so, and then when I was back doing the course in England, I rang you, didn't I, from England, and I was like, I've signed up for the academy, and I really want you to do it too, can you sign up too? And you were like, what?
Yeah, because, you know, when you do the course, you've flown back, you've done the other course, and you're like, and you've just suddenly gone all in, and without much, like, heads up, I was a bit like, caught me off guard, saying, okay.
You're like, I'm going to ring my mum and check with her.
Sure? She didn't ring and say, do you think we should join the academy? It was more like, I've just done it, yeah.
So yeah, that was a bit of a shock. But I mean, after
and I was just trying to convince him to do it with me.
It wasn't really about convincing, it was about letting that information sort of settle in and go, yeah. Okay, yeah. We knew we needed that anyway. Coming back from another country with all our life for 8 years and moved to England, you need that community. If we just did it on our own, you'd feel and a bit more vulnerable.
Yeah.
It would be a little bit more lonely, I think.
It's quite lonely as well. We always thought property would be a lonely thing. You know, we would do it just us two. And, you know, I'd miss that kind of work environment that you get being in business and meeting people. But it just totally opened my eyes up to how it can be and how it should be, really, because the best thing about the academy has been the network of people. Just being able to ask yourself a question or any of the great mentors or, you know, just everyone else that's in it as well, doing the same things, like they just understand and they're in the same boat. And, you know, you've always got someone to ask a question. So it's been amazing.
And how many, since joining the academy, how many properties have you bought?
Four.
That's a lot of properties to buy, isn't it? I mean, most people wouldn't buy four properties in their life. It's quite huge, really. And not only have you bought them, but you're going to be able to refinance them and pull out the majority of your money and just keep going again and again and again.
Yeah, we've done that on two of them. And then the other two on currently ongoing. So
yeah, so you're kind of slowly just refinancing them. And then when one project finishes, you'll refinance it and snowball.
Yeah, we never knew that you could do that, you know, refinance it and pull majority of your money. Do. Yeah,
we did. The commercial valuations on sort of large scale HMOs and...
Yeah, talk to me about some of the deals and how you're finding them and what the valuations are and stuff like that. So you mentioned commercial valuations for the HMOs. Talk to me about that.
So at the moment we've got a 6 and 6 going on at the
in Hartlepool. All on suite HMO.
Yeah, so that was purchased for like 47.5. It looks quite run down.
That's cheap.
Yeah. It's a direct to vendor and it's a beautiful building.
47 and a half grand.
Yeah. Needs a lot of work, windows and roof. But at the end, when it's all said and done, that should be 95% all money out.
So if you bought it for 47 and a half. What's the refurb?
113.
That's a big refurb. And then you're going to kit that out as like 6-bed ensuite?
Yeah, all ensuite.
Yeah. Okay. Going for kind of a higher end sort of touch to it as well.
We want to offer really nice, good quality accommodation, like nice homes for people.
But still though, that's only 150 grand. And then you've got 6 ensuite bed HMO. What do you think the commercial valuation will be on that?
We've been quoted anywhere between 210 and 230.
What's the difference between a commercial valuation and a bricks and mortar valuation?
Commercial based on the revenue generated by the property over a course of...
There's complicated equations for it.
There is a complicated equation. That is multiple equations.
But basically, it's about what the rent is, right? The higher the rent, the higher the value. It's all based off yields, and it is quite complex. And it's a funny thing because I do on the... I don't know if you remember on the Buy Refurbished Finance Masterclass, but I say... Because some people say, don't they? Oh, you can just find all the information on Google. And I'll say, here's one for you. Here's a property, this is the rent. Work out on Google, or you can use ChatGPT if you want. Work out the value, and no one can.
Yeah.
And then you'll Google it, and you'll have a million different articles that come up about commercial valuations, and it's a minefield. Being able to understand the formulas and have the, as you said, the connections to the brokers and the lenders to actually tell you what the values are going to be is so important.
That's what we've noticed as well. We've gone through like 2 or 3 brokers, and some of them don't have a clue about commercial. And some of them are saying, you've got to wait this long, you need this kind of ASTs along with the full package in order to get the valuation you want. And
a lot of brokers say to you, or lawyers say to you, no, this can't be done. And you're like, I know it can be done because I know now other people that have done this. So it's just about finding the right people.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing has been finding a good power team. And we always knew we would have to do that when we moved back. But it's been so much easier to find a good power team from having this network.
Through the academy, it's like, I recommend that guy or this person. And you go.
It's so true because sometimes people will think just because an accountant said it can't be done, therefore it can't be done. A lot of accountants, they're pretty broke, you know, and a lot of professional people like that, like these accountants and solicitors, they're always looking for the problems and for the reason why something can't be done. And it's important to be able to find people like brokers, agents, specialists, surveyors that are finding solutions and are finding how it can be done. How much would that rent for then? Hartlepool's a pretty cheap area.
We reckon about 500 a month per room.
But they're high-end ensuite rooms.
Yeah.
But we might even be able to get in on the contractor market, which we know is around £1,000 per month per room.
Yeah, there's a lot of contractors in the area because it's a big area for...
The power, there's a few plants up there and a few other industries that are working.
Yeah, so and engineers, in it. A lot of engineers are looking for rooms for short-term stays, so...
When did you work out that you could leave work? Because now you're both full-time in property, right? When and how did that happen?
Well, because we were moving country, because we decided to move back to England, we had to give up our jobs anyway. So we were just all in from the start. It's like, we're leaving Dubai, we're leaving our jobs, and we're going back to England to be full-time in property. So, it's a case of having to make it work. And we've made a huge sacrifice to be able to do that because we've, moved country, we're currently living at home with James's parents, so
which is crazy because you're now officially property millionaires, but then it's funny because it's like we're property millionaires, we've just bought 4 houses, but all our money's going into the business. But actually you're not driving fancy cars, living the hard life, you're living with James's parents, living a very normal life, but you're building assets. We had a conversation at the Accelerate Coaching Performance Program about how important it is to not only have slow pound to build your assets, but also to have cash coming in.
Yeah.
And you had a challenge recently to go and get a rent to rent for quick cash flow. What happened since you decided to do that?
Yeah, I was just so fed up. I was like, all our money is tied up in the properties. I need some fast pound. It's great. We're building our portfolio and our business and everything, but we need some money coming in. I said to you, do you think we should try and get a rent to SA? You're like, oh, I'm so tied up with this. I was like, right, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go out and do it. And I went on Gumtree that day. And I found this perfect little cottage 10 minutes down the road in the countryside, but it's close to loads of, I mean, it is 10 minutes from the county town of Somerset, close to the coast and everything. And I went to visit it. The landlord's like, yep, come tomorrow. First person to see it. And I was so nervous about broaching the subject of like Airbnb being out and a corporate let. But he was totally open to it. He was like, yep, this is great. What I want is guaranteed rent. If you can offer me that, then...
So how much did you agree to pay him?
$975 a month.
And he agreed. Have you like got the contract signed yet?
I've got the contract to send to him today.
Oh, this is so, all new. It's all happening.
He's agreed completely. He's That's already awesome. Taken it off the market and everything.
How much will you rent it out for a night then on average?
$125,
I think. Between $125, but in peak times, I'm going to try and push to $165.
So are you expecting to make how much profit, do you reckon, a month?
I'm hoping to make $1,000.
Yeah. And it might be less in the winter months. It might be $500 or $600. But still, it's... And that's the thing, when you own a property, like when you do a BRR, for example, you buy a house, obviously if it's a HMO, a six-bed HMO, it might be different, but you can buy a house, you can do it up, you can refinance it, pull all your money out, rent it for a grand, but then after you've paid your expenses and your mortgage, you're left with £200 a month profit. So yes, you're building your assets, but you need to be also thinking about your monthly cash flow as well, and you've done that through HMOs. How many of your four properties that you bought, how many of them are HMOs?
Three.
Once they're all completed and refinanced and rented, how much, with your rent to rent, how much cash flow will you expect to make from those?
We're hoping 5,000 to 6,000 a month.
Yeah, which is
our financial freedom. We were like, we need 6,000 minimum to be able to move out. And
but then you'll have a whole bunch of money back to reinvest and to keep recycling and growing and growing. And you're young as well. It's not like, I mean, again, like most people that are property millionaires, they'll be in their like 50s. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, very rare to be able to build a portfolio like that in the way that you have. What would you say your tips would be if you were advising somebody that was new to the market, that was wanting to do what you've done and become a property millionaire and start buying houses? And what would be the top tips that you would recommend from your experience?
I mean, my top tip would be to network and educate yourself.
Yeah, definitely educate yourself.
And you surround yourself around the people that know, and don't try and reinvent the wheel to sort of copy and paste. And I think that's...
A lot of people want to get into property and they just jump in, or they read all the books, listen to all the podcasts, and then don't take action. So my advice would definitely be take action, but do the education first, because otherwise you'd be stuck in a situation like where we first bought. You just buy one property or two properties and then that's all your money gone and it's tied up in those properties and you're making a few hundred pound a month. It depends what your goal is, but if you want to be financially free from property, then you need to look at the proper strategies and educate yourself and then take the action and do it, because it's the best thing we've ever done.
One of the things that you definitely couldn't ever say you weren't is action takers. You know, the two of you are both massive action takers. You know, to move from Dubai, quit your jobs, join the academy, put in all these offers, buy in these houses. It's commendable. You're an asset to the academy. And I really appreciate you coming out and sharing your story on Winners on a Wednesday.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Amazing. Well done. Respect. Congratulations. Well done.